I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab with the echo, Joe. So please try to fix that for us. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock, taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. And Bob Shorey is here. He's the MCSE that comes in and helps me with your computer comments, questions, and concerns. And Joe, if you got to fix this echo, bud, push whatever button you need to, please. So as Joe works to fix the echo, sounds like I'm talking in a church. We're going to go on to what's usual and customary, our technology news. And Amazon's recalling hundreds of thousands of Ring doorbells over exploding battery fears. I know it's going to happen. Your doorbell's going to explode. Hey, thank you, Joe. You fixed it. So what happens when you mix up the wood and metal screws provided by the installation? Well, they heat up, Bob. And Amazon's home security brand of Ring is recalling 360,000 of its Wi-Fi-enabled video doorbells over concerns they may catch fire when incorrectly installed. So this recall affects Ring's second generation of video doorbell, with the defect appearing on units sold in the U.S. and Canada between June and October of this year. Now, with everybody staying home, we had nothing to do but update our houses, so people did all sorts of things with their doorbells and stuff, I'm sure. But I guess it turns out that if they give you two sets of screws, and the first are wood screws designed to affix the doorbell to a wall, while the second set of Thorx T6 screws, I guess they're called, are used to attach the doorbell to its mounting bracket. And what happens if you mix up the screws, the battery may overheat, and you could have a problem with the burning doorbell. So go check to see if you did the right thing. Now, being that I'm not very handy, I could easily have made a mistake like that. What do I know from a wood screw, I don't know, I'm not handy at all. So I could have easily made this error. And so far, 23 cases resulted in property damage, while 8 people reported suffering minor burns. I'm not sure if they were trying to pull the Ring doorbell off the house while it was on fire. I don't know what's up with that, but I will put the link here for you. You can take a look. What else you got, Bob?
Okay. This is a CNET article.
Mm-hmm.
New Windows 10 patch fixes 112 security bugs in Teams, Office, and Edge. Now, nobody uses Teams, right? With all everybody staying at home?
Yeah.
Really, nobody uses Office. Come on. Really? And Edge, 112 bugs? Security bugs? Anyway.
These are security bugs, not just bugs. Security bugs.
Yep. On Tuesday, Microsoft rolled out its monthly Patch Tuesday security update for Windows 10, fixing 112 vulnerabilities across the OS, as well as in Microsoft Office, Edge, and other products.
Right.
One of the biggest issues Microsoft patched was a Windows zero-day vulnerability that was exploited in the wild. Our sister site, ZDNet, reported.
Mm-hmm.
The vulnerability, first disclosed on October 30th by Google's Project Zero and Threat Analysis Group security teams.
Google loves to point out Microsoft bugs.
Amazing, huh? Targeted Windows 7 and 10 users who also use the Chrome browser. The bug allowed the attacker to gain user access in Windows, mm-hmm. but further details about the attack have not yet been published. Other security patches in the update include those for bugs that would allow remote code access attacks in apps like Teams, Excel, SharePoint, the Microsoft Exchange Server,
nice.
And Windows Network File System. If you're using Windows 7, you can update to Windows 10 for free. You can also check out blah, blah, blah.
Right.
On this CNET article, we'll post it.
Yeah. Well, again, Microsoft's got issues with their technology. 112 security bugs. So in other news, you know how when you're, it's free, you're the commodity? Well, Google Photos will end its free unlimited storage on June 21st of 2021. So, yes, of course, as you get used to the free storage in the cloud and you stick all your stuff up there for free, Google says, they've now decided, well, after you get to 15 gigs, you're going to have to pony up for some money. Surprised?
Well, that's like the drug dealers going out on the street and passing out drugs for free. So
right.
Once they get you addicted, then they got you.
Yeah, it looks like Google knows how that works. So, you know, all photos and documents uploaded before June 1st will not count against the 15 gigs. So you got some time to decide whether you're going to go all in or not. But 15 gigs of storage is more than you get from the folks at the paltry 5 gigs that Apple gives you. And Google claims that 80% of Google Photo users won't hit that 15 gig cap for at least 3 years.
Let me see. I think they could be like the friendly stranger in the black city.
They might be. They might be. So again, the idea of the cloud is such a nice, warm, fuzzy place, sort of. You're sticking all your stuff out there on somebody else's servers until they finally say, you know what? You're going to have to start paying for it. Then you're going to have to figure out, how do I get that stuff off of those servers so I don't pay? And we've had calls over the time here at Computer Talk with Tab, you know, Apple users calling, hey, Eric, how do I get my stuff out of the iTunes cloud, because they only give you 5 gigs, the iCloud, and they're trying to figure out how to get the stuff off. It's not easy to do, and then you get your stuff strewn about the cloud. You know, maybe you're an Apple user today and you're a Google user tomorrow and a Windows user the next day. Where's all your stuff?
Well, a cloud accumulates moisture.
Yeah,
like the digital cloud accumulates data.
There you go.
But it's eventually, when it gets too much moisture,
yeah,
it starts to rain.
It does.
And it might be raining your data.
It could be raining your data. Yeah. So be careful out there, guys. It's going to start costing you some money to have your free Google Photos unlimited. It's going to go away. What else you got? Anything else, Bob?
Yes. Another CNET article. Rules for strong passwords don't work, researchers find.
No.
Here's what does. In the name of security, you can stop adding an exclamation mark to the end of your password. When you create a password for yet another new account,
right,
you'll probably enter familiar rules designed to make it harder for hackers to get in.
Right.
Use capital letters, numbers, and special characters.
Right.
These requirements, however, don't make your password stronger, researchers at Carnegie Mellon University says. And it says that people are in the bad habits,
right,
because they'll use their capital at the beginning of a word,
yep,
instead of in the middle.
Right.
And, you know, they'll use like the exclamation point
at the end
every time. So
yeah. And then they add, what, 123 or something like that for the numbers.
Yeah. Oh, password 123.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Star Wars.
Star Wars.
So, anyway, Lori Craner, director of the Scilab Usable Security and Privacy Laboratory at CMU,
yeah,
says her team has a better way, a meter that websites can use to prompt you to create more secure passwords.
Mm.
After a user has created a password of at least 10 characters now, not 8, the meter will start giving suggestions such as breaking up common words with slashes or random characters to make your password stronger.
Yeah, they got to stop even talking about passwords and just talk about Yubico. You know, a physical key where you're plugging your key into your computer and touching it. You could put a password, it wouldn't matter, because the key would be the final second factor authentication that the bad guys can't copy.
So we'll put a link to this article. And
yeah,
to be honest with you, Eric, you're exactly right. Password is just one part of a multi-layer form of security that you really need.
Right. And if you have a physical key on your person that you then plug into your device and you touch your physical finger to that key to actually have it enact the code that goes across as the second factor, the bad guys can't get in.
So you have two-factor on your second factor.
I do.
So.
Right. Just having the key in there is not enough. You actually physically have to touch it.
So is that like two-factor?
I have no idea.
Is that like three-factor?
Is that factor squared? I have no idea. It's a lot of factors. So passwords, yeah. I mean, there's a comedy routine I saw on Netflix. I cannot remember the guy's name. He was a British comedy, a comic, and he was just did a great routine recently about passwords. And maybe I'll try to look it up, and maybe we can try to play a clip of it if we can find it. We're going to step out for a quick break, get to your calls. We are broadcasting live over at WTIC's Facebook page. If you want to check out Bob and I there and ask questions there, post some comments, share it out. That'd be great. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC and 522-WTIC, and we'll do our best to help you out. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we got Joe, the producer, for us today. He's a trumpet player for UConn, and that's why I got a little different style of music going on there, which is pretty cool. Actually, I was talking to my band director. Yes, I have a band director. My wife and I are in a community band, and of course, thanks to COVID, can't get together and play. But we were just talking about the fact that so many communities have great places for kids and adults to play sports. You know, they've got soccer pitches, and they've got baseball fields and football fields and basketball courts. And the community just really gets around making sure that there's places like that for the community. But, you know, a stage in a concert hall in the community, not so easy to find. And I would contend there's more people that play instruments than play football. And I just don't understand why there aren't more places out there for folks that are in community bands, because there's an awful lot of community bands out there, I'll tell you. And the communities just don't seem to put up places for them to perform. But you can go to find plenty of empty basketball courts and baseball fields are used to. Our taxes cover those.
I think I know of a place I can tell you when we're off air.
All right, very good.
Hear about it.
No, well, go ahead.
In New Britain, in the park.
Yeah.
They have like bands. We, my wife and
oh, yeah, outside.
It. Yeah, it's an outside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's covered.
That's beautiful. But you can't rehearse there in November.
Well,
I mean, musicians are tough, but we're actually not that tough. And the music blows. It's no fun. So, yes, it's a place to play, but I'm talking about a place to play all year long.
Yeah, well, that may be a little more difficult.
It seems to be. Yeah, but just making this observation.
I don't think they're building those things in the schools anymore, and if they are, they're smaller than they used to be.
Yeah, it's even hard to get access to them for the community.
That's
but just thought something I brought up was the music. Let's go to your calls. I digress. We're going to go to Jay in North Granby next. What's going on, Jay?
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
My problem is when I go to get on my computer, I put in my password, everything is fine, and the page comes up with a little start button down on the left-hand side, the window,
nice. Yeah,
and a couple icons, and usually I just click on it, and then all my programs show up, and I click on Firefox, and it goes on from there, you know, to my email and other stuff. But now, yesterday morning, it worked fine.
Yeah.
Yesterday afternoon, I went up to get on, and when the arrow was on the screen, but when I put it down over the window, a blue circle starts turning and turning and turning. And yesterday, it went on for probably 2 hours, and I finally got, mad and turned it off.
Yeah.
And then when I went back last night around 10 o'clock, just to see, and lo and behold, it worked again.
Yeah.
This morning, I just came on about, I guess it was 8:30, and the blue circle starts again, and I left it there. Well, I called you guys and waited, for the advertisements, and about a quarter after 9, so that's 45 minutes, it finally, the arrow came up. Circle went away, the arrow came up, and I'm able to click on it, and I'm on now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. This first time this has ever happened.
Well, it means that you've got an issue with the Windows 10 doing something in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And it's consuming a huge amount of your processing power, and it's causing your system to spin. Could be an update trying to happen in the background. It could be antivirus running. It could be something malicious happening.
I have Malwarebytes, and I got the premium. And they do a scan like twice a day, and I just got a message, awesome, no, nothing found, you're good.
Yep.
So I don't know.
Sometimes you can get an email, or you can go to a website that has bad programming that creates malformed packets, if you will. And what happens is when you get that little circle running around, that blue circle, that means that it's trying to work, but it's really not. And you'll get it's not responding. So the best thing you can do is just end that program and do something else. But you know.
Yeah, but I can't. I can't do anything else.
Well, can you hit Control-Alt-Delete and get into your task manager?
Yeah, you know what? I did that. And all I get is, I can't remember now, lock, task manager,
right.
Switch users.
We would want you to get into the task manager, Jay.
Well, I did, and all it showed was a box with malware bytes in it.
Well, that was under your applications, but what you want is... If you bring up your task manager, there's a processes, okay? So it's going to show you your apps, and then it'll show you your background. What you're looking at is the small task manager, but down at the bottom it says more details.
Uh-huh.
So if you click on that, it gives you everything that's running on your computer. And you can find the application that's not responding, and you can right-click on it and then end that task.
Okay, what do I do, like delete it or?
You'd want to end the task. So you want to see what's holding, what's chewing up all your CPU cycles. It should be listed
now,
there.
When I click on Task Manager, it's just a window on the screen, a small window, white window.
That's right. If you click on the more details down at the bottom left, it makes it bigger. And then you can see a lot more.
And it was kind of counterintuitive that you're clicking on something you want to see, and Microsoft says, we're going to sort of show it to you.
Yeah.
If you really, really want to see it, you can click here.
Reader's Digest version.
Yeah. So you click on the more details, and then you can actually look at your processes that are running and see what's chewing up your CPU cycles.
Okay, then what do I do after that?
Well, once you figure out what's doing it, see if you can end the task and see if the machine comes right back to life. If the task is a background task for the operating system, you could cause a problem. If it's something that's malicious or stuck in some sort of loop, try to note which one is doing it. Write down what it is, and then you can do some searching on issues with that process running at 100% CPU cycles to see if there's anything that can be done.
So one of the things you can do is you can click on that process, and one of the options is open the file location.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find out if it's not in your program files folder, if it's somewhere else, it could be something malicious.
Right. Be careful. Don't delete it too. Don't go deleting things, but just ending processes.
Here's the thing. I don't want to throw another horseshoe in here, but my wife is on the same computer, right?
Yeah.
So when she goes to use it, we just switch users.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm on Yahoo. I use Yahoo. She uses Gmail.
Yeah.
And I tried hers yesterday and this morning too, and it's right on.
Your profile. Your profile's got a problem, maybe.
Oh, okay.
You know, she's clearly a better computer user than you, Jay.
Yeah. I don't know how to do anything on a computer.
That's okay, but it does seem like your profile has an issue. We're coming up against a hard break. Next time it occurs, go into Task Manager, like we said, and see if you can figure out which one is causing the issue, okay?
All right. If not, I'll call you back.
We'll be here.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Jay. Good luck. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, guys. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we talk about is posted live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you go to Facebook and like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg may deem the news worthy, and it may get into your news feed. And that's kind of a good thing. You can follow us on Twitter if you like, if there's nothing else for you to do. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We got a full board of calls. Thank you for joining us on this Saturday morning. We're going to get right to those calls. And on the longest is our resident groupie, Danny. What's going on, Danny? You there, Danny? Uh-oh, what happened to our resident groupie?
Hello?
Hey, there he is.
Hello.
What's going on, Danny?
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I'm on speaker. Is that okay? My earpiece on my phone's not working.
If that's all we got, that's all we got. Okay. But it's usually not. It's usually a talk show faux pas. Just so you guys know, in radio land, being on speakerphone is really difficult for most radio shows. Just right. Figured I'd bring that up there for all the other hosts. But you're okay right now, Danny.
Okay. Listen, my wife's got that HP Chromebook.
Yeah.
It's a model 14DB0023DX.
All right.
And we have an HP Pro 8715 printer.
All right.
And I want to know about tying the Chromebook into the printer by physical wire, not the Wi-Fi or Bluetooth or anything.
Oh.
Is that just a matter of running the cable from the printer?
Yeah.
To the Chromebook?
It's that easy.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll be the easiest thing you've ever done with your computer.
Okay, so if the cord that we have right now going into her desktop was long enough, we could just unplug it from the tower on the desktop and plug it into the Chromebook.
Exactly.
God, that was easy. Okay.
we specialize in that. Yeah, that's okay. You know what, Danny? It's okay.
Hey, listen, I want to thank that lady that called last week about correcting you on the landline. I was going to do it, but I didn't want to be a smart pants, so I'm glad somebody else did when you were talking about UMA being a landline.
It's a landline alternative if you only have internet, but she was technically correct.
Okay, well, we like to be technically correct on this show, and
yes,
I wanted to thank her for mentioning that she enjoyed my calls.
Yes, you have a fan, too.
Gotcha.
That's a good point, Danny. You should acknowledge that. That's good.
Yes, because other people have called and said they don't enjoy my calls.
Hey, man, you got to have a thick skin if you're going to be on radio. How many people do you think love me every Saturday and Bob? I mean, you can't make everybody happy.
Oh, no, everybody loves you guys.
Another thing,
the volume when you're on hold, is there any way you guys can ever turn that up? It was always low even pre-COVID.
I got no power there. That's all back in the studio. It's all back in the studio as far as that goes. They should turn it up.
Yeah.
I agree. That way you know whether or not you're on hold or not.
Yeah, because it was very, very low today. And did you see Elon Musk took four COVID tests, and two were positive and two were negative?
Yeah, he's calling something. He thinks there's something screwy going on. Yeah, I did see that. Four exact same tests, same nurse, two were positive, two were negative.
I know.
Yeah.
Now he's not going to be able to be at the launch for the astronauts tomorrow. He's got a quarantine.
Well, the funny part is, obviously, the first one must have been positive. He's like, hey, take it again. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
My wife's like, why did he do that? I'm like, he's a billionaire. He can take a bunch of tests. It doesn't matter to him.
Well, you know, that's the privilege rich people have.
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, I think even here in America, it doesn't matter how many tests you take, but who wants to keep taking the tests? He just wanted to be at the launch. He's also taking
it. I mean, you can't blame him.
No, you can't. He's going to take a PCR test, too, I think, though, but it may not come back in time.
Yeah. Starlink is doing very well as far as the quality and the speeds and stuff. People are really happy with it.
I've heard it's about 50 megabits to 75. We'll see when you actually get volumes of folks connected to it how well it works.
Yeah. All right, well, this is the first time I called since you came back. I'm glad you made it back and didn't decide to abandon us for Florida.
Someday, Danny, I will be.
All right. Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, Danny, Bye-bye. Take it easy. Bye-bye. Yeah, the beauty of working remotely is, I mean, you can work anywhere remotely. And I just didn't want to do it to Bob where we would have to have me connect remotely and then Bob connect here remotely into the studio. We'd have two remote connections while I was working remotely. And that just seemed like remotely squared as far as being trouble. So it was just easier to take a few Saturdays off. All right. So let's get on to David in Glastonbury. What's going on, David?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Okay, I'm running Windows 10 version 1903, and about a month ago, I went to update to the then-current version, which I'd been watching for a month or so to let somebody else find the bugs.
Yeah.
And that was the very day that they came out with 20H2. So my question is, how much longer, if any, should I wait to update to 20H2?
I would do it right now.
You would? You think it's a good version?
Yeah, they fixed the problems with 2020. I mean, 2004.
2004, yeah.
Okay, and what precautions, if any, should I take and should do some backups?
Well, you're going to have a recovery point by default as long as you have enough space.
Okay, so I should do a system backup. And
they give you either 12 or 30 days, depending on, I don't know what criteria they use, that you can actually uninstall it. So it'll be in your programs and features.
Okay.
After, let's say, 10 days, then they remove the temporary file.
And David, you're not going to see anything improve. Your Windows 10 is going to look just like it did before.
Yeah. Okay, but the...
Actually, they did kind of change the start menu a little bit.
Oh, did they?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I didn't notice that.
I had a note here that 1903 expires in about 3 weeks.
That's right.
That is true. That is true. No, and again, Microsoft, with they're trying to get the one system out there. It does make sense.
Yeah. Okay, great.
All right, good luck.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So, yeah, you should definitely back up your data or make sure you have a recovery point, especially for a major update like that. But, I mean, yeah, there's going to be a little difference, but is it going to be a beneficial difference, Bob, you're going to see in your operating system? Probably not.
Well, you might get the 112th security patches.
That's true. That's true. So as you spend your morning updating to the next latest version of Windows 10, you then can spend your morning updating the security patches. So we're going to step out for a quick break and then get back to more of your calls. So Scott and Ed, hang on, and a couple lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Let's get right to your calls. Actually, I wanted to bring up that comic real quick about passwords. His name is Mike McIntyre, and he had a Netflix special that I saw, and he just did a great thing on passwords. You can go ahead and find some of the clips on YouTube. There is some colorful language. Some, you know, comedians got to use all sorts of colorful language, but it is pretty funny how he discusses passwords, and it's you're just going to sit back and say, Bob's story is exactly correct. Let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to Scott in Terryville next. What's going on, Scott?
There. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Oh, there you are. Okay. Thanks for announcing my name before you went on to break. When you're waiting on 1080, just a side note, the volume is really low. And then when you're driving and then all of a sudden you're up, it's like a voice from the heavens booms through your speakers and it makes you jump.
Yeah. No, I know. Right. It is funny.
Oh my God, I don't mean that.
Yeah, you go live, whoosh. It's like this weird whoosh sound.
I know, it's like whoosh. But good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, great.
And, I have an iMac. It's a 2017.
All right.
And it's been a great computer, and as of a couple months ago, with all the kids being home at school, my son was using it, and it got real slow.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured, well, my photos and videos transfer from my phone to my computer automatically. I'm like, maybe it got too bogged down. And it's a 1 terabyte storage, 8 gigs RAM. Mm-hmm. I still had 700 gigs of storage. And I was like, well, okay. So I cleared it out, put on my hard drive like I usually do, and external hard drive. And I restarted it, and it was still sluggish as heck. And I looked at the activity monitor, and the memory pressure was in the red almost.
Mm-hmm.
And I did an ESET run. I did a Malwarebytes run. Came up with nothing. I did some resets when you restart it per iMore.com for iMacs. And this is apparently a problem with 2017s and 2018 my iMacs, where all of a sudden they run slow after a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what's going on. I've got barely anything on there, and I have a terabyte of space, and yet I'm using like almost 7 gigs of RAM.
Yeah. So space will never, just so everybody knows, you can have your space without any issues. You can consume much of it, even up to 80-90% of it, and your machine will still run fine. It's like, you know, filling your trunk with stuff. Your car still goes 65 miles an hour. So that'll never impact it. It's going to be RAM. It's going to be processor. It's going to be something running in the background. But you're not alone, because you're right. As you were talking, I was looking to see what's going on here, and CNET has some articles about this. You know, you get a $6,000 Mac, and it's just slow.
Yeah.
And I don't just. It's
funny.
It's way too much money. You paid a serious premium for a beautiful design. Yeah. But you need functionality.
I know, and that's why I'm so upset. And I don't have a lot of apps or anything on that computer. I use it for photos, video, and my son to be able to do schoolwork.
Right. So when you see the performance issue, is it within browsing? Is it when do you see it?
So it takes a good 10 minutes to start up. As soon as you start up, the Apple logo's up, and it's doing a loading bar, and that's new. And then to get in where the desktop actually comes up and you put in your password, that takes another minute. And then it's just the whole startup process. It takes a good 20 minutes before I can actually get into the browser and start moving around.
Yeah, so in looking at this article from CNET, because I'm not a Mac user, but it looks like we had a caller that started the show with a performance issue on his startup. And they're even talking about trying to get into the task, the Apple Task Manager. I guess there must be one. And see what is running in the background. What is using up all those CPU cycles? It shouldn't take that long. 10 minutes to boot up a brand new Apple device is obviously problematic. So something is going up with your thing. And they do have some common tips. There's a June 14th article that CNET talks about as far as how to speed up your slow MacBook Air or Pro. But the fact that we're even talking about it is kind of sad, you know? But,
it makes me want to cry, and I don't cry a lot, but I'm just saying.
Well, hey, you can be
my task manager. I've seen those articles, and I see a lot of things running, but I don't see a lot of CPU usage where, you know, it's killing my memory, or I'm not smart enough to understand if it is or not.
Gotcha. Well, the weird thing is they did start talking about freeing up storage space, but that's just silly. Are you running a solid-state drive or is it a spinny-style drive?
I believe it's a solid-state drive because I think that's what all the iMacs are. If I'm wrong, correct me. But, it's a really thin screen. You know, it's I think that's a solid-state drive.
It could be, sure, yeah. So you've already looked at all these performance aids, and you haven't found any of them that are going to work for you.
No.
So the activity monitor, I think you need to focus on the activity monitor, which is your task manager. When you see this issue, try to bring up the activity monitor to see what activity is chewing up your machine. There's no physical reason it'll just take 10 minutes to decide. Unless you have an internet problem, maybe it's trying to connect to the internet and you have a network problem and the device is timing out trying to find the internet. Maybe you use a printer. I mean, with Windows-based systems in the old days, If you had a device connected to it and it wasn't responding, the computer saying, "Hey, buddy, I'm connecting to you. Wake up!" and it didn't respond, it would hang. You could have devices hanging it. Do you have anything on your device, your iMac, that is a device like that that could hang?
I mean, just the printer, but it's hard connected. It's not wireless, and I have noticed when I go to print something, it does seem to like hang, if you will, and where I have to force quit it and then do it again, and then it prints. But that wasn't always the case, even when this started. I'm curious with the activity monitor when I pull it up. Yeah. What should I be looking for? That in the list.
I'm not sure. I've never used it myself, but if it has any kind of CPU usage information or RAM usage information, you're trying to find the thing that's pegged out that is really using all your resources.
What would be a number that would scream out and say, "Wow"?
90%, 80%, 90%, 100%, those numbers, big numbers.
All right.
If it's in the 20s or 30s, it seems normal. But for a machine to take 10 minutes to boot up this day and age with solid-state drives, it shouldn't take that long.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts, Ben?
And if I don't, then I'm going to have to go to the Apple Store and bring it, I guess.
Yeah, good luck to you on that.
Yeah, I know.
It could be a heating event too. Is your house real dusty? Are you having issues where you're not able to cool it down?
Nope. It's in the basement. The basement's cool. I mean, for the most part, I keep it clean.
You might also
see a parent issue. You know what I mean?
Yep. May want to consider looking at within that activity monitor. Look for anything that's in a red state. I guess they give you red colors as far as whether or not you're in a high process state, but also look at applications. Right, so you've done your scans for malware, you've checked all that, and you're clean. You might have loaded an application that's just trying to start up as part of the process of bringing up the Mac. So maybe you take any of your startup items, depending on again how the Apple works. I assume there's a startup of some kind, and try to reduce the amount of items that are in the startup that could be causing this thing to hang. Maybe an application you loaded is part of, maybe you did a weather application, or maybe you've got, I don't know, maybe you've got a smart home application where it's timing out trying to talk to something. take it out of that startup process, try to limit the process to just basic Apple functions, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I get you. And you know what? I don't know where that is, and I got to do some research to find out how to get to that. And once I do, because it's not like Windows, you're right. And
it's not like Windows.
Once
no.
I do, I could check it out.
There must be a startup process, I'm guessing.
Yeah, there definitely is. It's just where that menu is that shows the list of, hey, this starts up when you turn on your computer. Check it off. You know?
How long have you been an Apple user?
Oh, quite some time. I'd say 15 years. My first iMac, I mean, it was a 2007. God, that thing, so less than 15 years. But that thing was a tank.
Right.
I mean, I actually added memory to it because it had four memory slots and I only had two used up.
Yeah.
And it lasted such a long time. It slowed down, but not like this. And this iMac only has two card slots, and it doesn't have the door in the back where I could add two more or anything. I think you have to take the computer apart.
Yeah.
So I missed the boat on that one.
Well, Apple seems to not be as friendly to its fans as Windows systems are. They don't let you upgrade things. They want to make sure the obsolescence occurs naturally.
Right.
But it is unusual that your Apple device is doing this to you. What you're describing is a Windows problem all the time. And it's only because Windows users chuck so much stuff onto their system, whereas Apple users have a more of an enclosed ecosphere that it should be cleaner. But maybe...
It should be.
Yeah.
It should be. And it wants me to upload to the newest desktop system, if you will, right? It's the latest and greatest.
Yeah.
And I won't do it because I don't know what's going on, you know?
Well, hang on. Does it cost you anything to do it?
It doesn't.
So do it.
Really?
Yep. I know it seems kind of crazy, but...
It does. It could take 3 days, just so you know.
Oh, because of how bad your Apple is working?
Yeah.
Yeah. However, if you get to a new clean operating system, it could actually correct maybe your problem. You know, any tech support guy is going to say, are you current? You know, trying to troubleshoot something that's old and has issues or has problems and there's a bunch of patches out there, it just seems redundant to try to troubleshoot the granular problem of an old operating system rather than the current one. Yes, you could introduce something new, but if you could do the update for free, you should do it and just see if that improves the system by default. It might.
All right. I might take some more pictures off just so I don't lose anything if it crashes. But I mean,
you should have a backup.
I'm actually the one less current, and I can't remember what they are, but... you know, I'm due for the update. It's just I was nervous about doing it because there's so much memory pressure that I figured someone blow out or just when, I don't know.
Well, you have a backup, right?
I do have a backup.
Okay, good. Because I was going to say, you lose pictures if you're married. This could be the end of things, you know.
It could be.
So, yeah, I would do the update. We'll put some links up here for some ideas and take a look at your startup and maybe you'll figure out what's going on with your device. Hopefully we gave you some thoughts.
Yeah, you did, and if I figure it out, I'll let you guys know.
Hey, thank you very much, Scott.
Thank you.
All right.
Take care.
Take it easy. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We have a couple lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And everything we've talked about has been posted live by Mike G over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com and over on Facebook as well. If you follow Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, the information could get into your newsfeed. We'll be right back.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.